Today's show is brought to you by our presenting sponsor, Cufflinks.com. Go to Cufflinks.com from October 3rd to the 7th and save 40% off Star Wars and look at new awesome Star Wars Episode 9 products. Use code FORCE40 to get 40% off. 40% off. Go to cufflinks.com/DVR. We're also running a contest for the next 2 weeks. Give us a review on Apple Podcasts, and you could win a Darth Vader red lightsaber tie. Go to our Facebook or go to our Twitter, DVR Podcast, and you can take a look at it. Or go to cufflinks.com/DVR and look up Darth Vader red lightsaber tie. You could win it. Just give us a review and go to cufflinks.com/DVR. Use code FORCE40 and save 40% off Star Wars products at cufflinks.com. Today is Friday, October 4th, 2019, and this is Daily DVR. Welcome back, everyone, to Daily DVR. Thanks for downloading. Thanks for listening. Much appreciated. I was planning on having Craig back from LiningUp.net to talk about Star Wars and kind of the future of Star Wars today. But unfortunately, I did have a little bit of an issue, had a little bit of an ear infection, made it a little bit hard to hear, and it still is getting better. I'm almost there. But instead of that, I decided to go back and DJ and I did our favorite Star Wars films last year. So I decided to replay that one today, let you listen to that, get you in a little Star Wars mood for Triple Force Friday. Want to remind you to go to our awesome presenting sponsor, Cufflinks.com. Check out all the new Star Wars products they have. I will have Craig back on the show very soon. Hopefully in the next couple of weeks to talk Star Wars again, because I am getting excited for Episode 9. I'm also getting excited for The Mandalorian that Heath and I are going to be covering when Disney Plus drops. Man, that's only like a month away. So a lot of exciting things happen. I hope you're enjoying Mindhunter. You enjoyed Veronica Mars, Bachelor in Paradise. We got a lot of stuff coming to you soon. Watchmen. A. Huss and I did our first Watchmen episode. I'll be dropping that on the feed, but you can get the Watchmen feed on like Spotify, Stitcher. It'll be up on iTunes next week. But for now, Triple Force Friday, go over to cufflinks.com. What we're going to do is DJ's top 10 Star Wars movies. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Let's do it, baby. You start. I did mine. And let's see how they compare. I think that my prediction before
we had not just yours. Scott sent one, didn't I believe? Right?
No. Andy did, but Andy, I'm gonna. Right. But I promised Heath that I'd save that for because he had already kind of prepared and looked at it. So we're gonna talk about Andy's list when Heath is on. Not that you're not worthy, DJ.
No, I love it. I'm just saying but, that the fact that everybody's Andy contributing their too. Little. Yep. Lists and they're not far off. Some are, and everybody has explanations. It's a great little thing to talk about. We all love Star Wars. None of them are terrible, you know, in my eyes. But it's very close to my heart. So let's hear your prediction of my.
Okay, list. This is my prediction. I think it's going to be pretty close to mine. I feel the vibe that you're not going to have too many differences. Than I had, which is I think that you're not a huge prequel guy, and mm-hmm. I think that you, but I think maybe you are. I don't know. Maybe I'm going to be surprised. But anyway, before we do it, first, just briefly tell us, because I've been asking everyone on this, tell us your Star Wars story, like, you know, when you were a little kid and stuff. Why do you love Star Wars?
All right. I was born in 79, and my dad... Right before I was born, I guess got the Star Wars bug, loved it. I guess I got the seed into the belly, and he's a collector at heart. He collects everything he could think about, and he already started buying me figures. I came out of the womb already having figures, and I was born into Star Wars. Now, I had, the records you know, the read-along records. I had the children's scholastic books that you could get with the, when you go to school and you fill out the little form, your parents write a $5 check or whatever it is. And I had, you know, whatever it was, Star Wars. And that, this is a time when very rarely did, you know, it come on TV, and I was still young. My first venture to the theater was to see Jedi. I was still too young to really understand it. I was at 83. So I was like 4 years old. And, but I was hooked. And then real early on, my cousin, like when they had video stores, my cousin spent, I think it was $90 a tape. It was, the video store rate to buy all three movies. And they were like, you know, the silver box, the ones that you could get in the rental store. And that's when everything just kicked it up a notch. And I watched it as much as I could. And then it would always come on yearly on TBS. And it was just a thing. I had, and I, funny enough, I learned to read from the back cards of the figures with the, all the lists of all the different names. I knew names of characters from hearing them in the movie. Then I would associate it with the name I was reading. And I was knowing characters' names before I knew like schoolwork and stuff like that. So I was hooked. And then, you know, all I had was every time they would release some kind of different edition of the movie and add something or THX it. I had all those tapes and then the DVDs and then bam, you know, the prequels. I want, you know, just an amazing life of enjoying a fandom. I have boxes and boxes of toys. So culminating with, like, you know, I'm going to just,
Whoa.
Hey, we got a live on the, I turned the ringer off. And what do we hear? The vibrate from my phone.
That sounded, I for a second there, I thought there was like a ship passing near you or something.
Yeah, it was the Death Star coming overhead. No, I was trying to not be on live with the phone. All right. That didn't work. So I love Star Wars. When, you know, one of the coolest things was when Force Awakens came out, Glenn, our good friend, everybody's favorite Star Wars fan, went to a screening where they sold, they had one in Brooklyn out here in New York. There was like four cities or five cities that had this one theater that sold a hoodie sweatshirt with all the release dates of all the movies up until Force Awakens. So I, you know, he picked that up for me, and it's a treasure of mine. I love
Glenn
it.
Glenn is and, the man, dude.
You know, so like just always feel a connection with Star Wars. And when I hear lists and hear talk about it, my favorite film list was the 12 hours of Star Wars dissecting that they did. I had taken a giant solo car trip out to West Virginia from New York, and I binged that whole thing front and go on the way there and back. Loved it. Like, just Star Wars in my blood. So hearing you do it here in Star Wars month, you know, it's so much fun that you asked me to do a list. And
That's awesome, dude. So you didn't see, which ones did you see in the theater?
Everything after Jedi.
Okay. Everything after, so you didn't see Jedi in the theater?
Oh, no, Jedi and after.
Okay, correct. Jedi and after. Okay.
I was four when I saw awesome, Jedi. Man.
It was such a different experience. I guess, you know, I don't know. The those lines, I guess I did have that kind of experience at The Force Awakens, but I guess I just don't want to wait in a line anymore. Craig does that awesome.
Oh my gosh.
Waiting in the line. Oh man. You know what? I got to get him on the pod, dude.
He really is. He's so dedicated. He's got, and they raise money for charity.
Yeah.
It's a beautiful thing.
I'm going to see if he can, you know what? I definitely got to get him on the pod, man. Most definitely. Thanks, Roy. I'm going to reach out to him today and see if he'll come on the pod, because I have actually tomorrow night, I'm scheduled to record with someone. And usually, like I say, I don't like to announce before I do the recording. I've had so many times where like we finish and then the recording's not there. Something happens, but I'm going to have a guest and we're going to talk about this Star Wars theme park. It's going to be a show about the Star Wars theme park. And actually, ooh, like, this person is like an expert at going to Disney. So it's going to be a fun show. But this is great to hear your story too. And yeah, man. And I mean, I think like spiritually and ethically, and just that's why Star Wars always means so much to me, because it was a big, huge blockbuster thing that also has a message that really resonated with me from a kid, you know, and just kind of how there is no really dark and light side. You know what I mean? Well, and they're the same. And I've you know,
never consciously picked up on that stuff until you brought it to my attention years back. But I subconsciously knew it all. Yeah, and that's what attracted me to it. Yeah. And one of the beautiful things was that you could get these movies, watch them on TBS or whatever channel they came on with the commercials. Didn't matter. You weren't missing anything. There was nothing they had to cut out. It was for everyone. It was wholesome as well as exciting. It just, to me, that's an impossible thing to accomplish today. You can't make a PG movie that everyone would watch.
Yeah. And that's what I actually came to appreciate. So let's get into your list. And I want to see, because I'm interested. We talked about Last Jedi and about the kind of kid elements of it. And go back, people, and listen to me and DJ talk about The Last Jedi. That's on the Patreon there. Go over to patreon.com/DVR. That was a fun show. And just the elements of just how you kind of have to reach all the ages, you know? And I think that sometimes that may distract from rating a film higher. But for me, I've come to appreciate that, you know?
As a society, especially critics, we've grown edgier and edgier.
Yes.
So it's
true. You know, true, man. You want something to be darker, right?
Yeah. You know, wholesomeness is wonderful.
Yeah, well, you're a wholesome guy, DJ. When you're at those raves, it's very wholesome, right? When you're rocking the house DJ style, right?
Absolutely. I like to play positive music. Yeah. So, you know,
everybody has pacifiers in their mouths. It's very wholesome.
Oh, it's great. It's eyes popping out of their heads, sweating. It's
They've got diapers on.
Stereotyping the DJ.
They're like 35 and they have diapers on. But you know what? It's very wholesome. I've been at clubs like that, DJ. It's all good, baby. All right, let's hear your list, baby. Just start us out. Let's do this.
All right. So I'm going to start from 10 and I'm going to bring it down to 1. Yeah, yeah. 10 being the end of the list. So Solo would be where I'm going to start.
All right. I can see this. Tell me why.
I loved it. Movie was fun, was exciting, just was not in the vein of Star Wars as I know it. It took me a sidestep, which it wasn't bad. It was, to me, it reminded me more of like the live action animated movie, which, if that makes any sense.
Totally.
That fun pace, that quickness. So, it just was 10.
Like a little older Clone Wars. That's kind of like an offshoot story, you know? I understand what you're saying, DJ, and I like that you put that there because of that. It's more, you know what? I think it's even more of an introduction to a standalone kind of thing than Rogue One was, because Rogue One had such – there were so many Star Wars – more traditional trilogy elements to Rogue One.
Absolutely.
Right.
Then there were, came out.
The father and daughter and all that, you know what I mean? And all that dynamic.
The gritty film. It just felt good.
Solo is different. Yeah. It was a jaunt. It was like a jaunt in the Star Wars universe. Cause also Han Solo has always been loosely connected to that anyway. And that's why we love him.
Yes. But you brought up a really good point with what you said about Solo being more about the universe, because after I listened to you say that, I thought about it and I'm like, it really does answer a lot more setting questions than, you know, most of the other films.
Yeah.
So I like that. But yes, again, none of these are bad, just the list. So after Solo, I'm going to come to 9 at Last Jedi. It was good. Just to where it ranks.
Last Jedi at 9. Really?
Yeah. It wasn't.
Wow. This is, these lists are different.
The story goes, it just was a, unfortunately, like, I felt like a placeholder for what's to come. Yeah.
Really? So, but didn't you, I mean, were you, did you like the Luke turn? We talked about it. You were not as into it as me.
I wasn't. And don't, and.
But it seems like you've liked it less.
They're all phenomenal movies. It's just, I liked it less. Okay. I didn't really like the separation so much of, like, they spent too much time of, like, wasted time with Luke. Whereas, you know, if they were going to, like, end it so fast, they should have just sped up the knowledge part. Like, it wasn't Dagobah. Like, Dagobah, you felt the time put in. You know, over here it was like, all right, here you go, break some walls. All right, you're good. Let's burn it down.
So it hasn't gotten any better for you. I was hoping
Like, I watched it a few more times since we talked, but it's still great. It just
No, I get your idea. That's what you're saying for these, and I feel the same way, DJ. If you sat me down to watch any of these 10 movies, I would be like, okay, it's a Star Wars movie. None of them suck. You know what I'm saying? None of them are bad. It's like,
yes. So putting them towards the end of the list just feels bad.
It's about your vibe, though. Yeah. And that's what makes this interesting, because I think you got the raw truth here, DJ, and it might not be far off from what a lot of people think, you know?
Yeah. So,
all right. So what's after Last Jedi? So we're going now to number eight.
Force Awakens.
Oh man. All right. Old school. I feel the old school coming. Yeah. The Force Awakens. Okay.
To me, a wonderful reintroduction to the next set. It was done great. I really liked the film. There's other ones I like better than it. And, I don't have anything bad to say or tremendous to say about Force Awakens. It was just, I was just so happy to have a Star Wars back.
Well, I understand, because we've talked about this before, and in many ways, The Force Awakens is what you said. It's a reintroduction, you know, and it's an introduction for a whole new generation. And it was kind of like an amalgam of other films into a film and themes, you know? So I'm not off there with you, but it seems we're going to get to the point where it's pretty obvious that the later stuff is not your favorite.
Only because my heartstrings, you know, it's where I'm going with my heartstrings. So
okay.
I'm going to go to the number seven here.
Turn on your hot light. Sorry, I got into Neil Diamond there. Taking a little break to tell you once again to go to cufflinks.com/DVR for Force Friday, baby. It's Triple Force Friday. Save 40% off on Star Wars products and check out the new Episode 9 stuff at cufflinks.com/DVR. Use code FORCE40. Force 40. Star Wars makes me feel like singing. I love Star Wars, baby. It's a Star Wars week here. Go to cufflinks.com/DVR. Also, give us an Apple Podcast review and win a Darth Vader red lightsaber tie for the next 2 weeks. Go to Apple Podcast, give us a written review so we can see your name, and you could win that tie. Go to cufflinks.com/DVR today. One of the best parts about podcasting is getting to know the listeners and making new friends. And one of those friends is Andy. You may have heard me mention him before on one of our many podcasts. And Andy and his wife, Claire, are looking to adopt. So if you or anybody you know is considering adoption for their baby, please consider the loving family of Andrew and Claire. They're a home study approved adoptive family of three living on a farm in southern Minnesota with a dog, Barney, and two turtles. They're able to adopt from anywhere in the United States and would love to answer any questions you may have. To learn more about them, check out their Facebook page at Andrew and Claire Adopt or on Instagram at Andrew_and_Claire_Adopt. You can also email them at andrewandclaireadopt@gmail.com. So again, if you or anyone you know is considering adoption for their baby, reach out at andrewandclaireadopt@gmail.com. Thanks.
I'm going to say Attack of the Clones is seven.
Okay. Attack of the Clones.
Yes, it's, some some people really like this one.
Yeah.
For out of the, I guess the middle prequels, the middle movies rather. But I this was my least favorite for the love stuff. It was too long, and not that I didn't like it. It just spent too much time staying there
in green screen land.
We felt Anakin's emotions so much earlier than that we didn't.
I know.
You know, I love Natalie Portman. She was perfectly cast. To me, like, people think I'm nuts when I defend the prequels. I love them. But that's just me. So, I have a lot to say. I could pretty much, go any point for point on some of the movies with people on their arguments. But Clones is my least favorite of the prequels.
Okay.
And then coming in at, what is that?
Six.
Six. Hard six is Rogue One.
Oh, okay. So you're splitting up the pre. Okay. That's interesting. You're diving deep, because I just kind of put them all together.
Well, I liked Rogue One.
Okay.
Very much.
Yeah.
Very, dude, very good. Much.
This is interesting that you have. Now, is it because of the elements that I described earlier that there's many themes? Because that is a Star Wars. Like, I really feel like Rogue One is a Star Wars movie. Solo is a Star Wars movie. In almost a way that Rogue One feels like a Star Wars, Solo feels like a Star Wars theme park ride or something,
And it's Rogue fun. One like feels like a
film, like Rogue One is actually a film, even though I know that they both had kind of troubled productions. It really feels more like a together like film to me.
Rogue One feels like you could watch that with the original three.
And I love it. Yeah.
Not be really confused as it's something's out of place.
Yeah. Cause thematically it holds together with the family stuff, with it being so much about
the cinematography is right there. Yeah,
you're right. There's so many elements of the of actually the original Star Wars and the grittiness and griminess of it.
That's probably one of my hardest, biggest things I love about it. Like the hardest sells for me is that feeling.
You know what, DJ? I would actually say, and it just occurs to me as we're speaking, that I feel that Rogue One more so embodies the feeling of the original Star Wars than does The Force Awakens.
Absolutely, I agree.
Yeah, The Force Awakens is almost like the commercial feeling of Star Wars, and Rogue One is how I actually felt watching Star Wars when I was a kid. Because one of the things that gets lost in the generations about watching the original Star Wars is that it's such an indie movie. It's so like low budget, like it feels handcrafted. The world feels real. Do you know what I mean? And
The consequences felt very real,
too. And it was dark. It felt very brooding. You know, you were a kid watching a kid, Luke Skywalker, who you knew, like, his parents were dead or something. And you know what I mean? Like, he was with the aunt and the uncle, and you're like, what's going with this kid? You know, it's that kind of fish out of water. He's unhappy. He's moody. And I think Rogue One has a lot of that feeling. So I like that you put that this year. Yeah, thanks. Maybe.
Yeah, it Rogue One really like was surprising to me how much I loved it when especially coming after seeing the Force Awakens, and I'm like, all right, how's this gonna fit? And it just was so satisfying.
Yeah, I want to watch it again.
And all right, so coming in halfway at five, it's gonna be Menace, baby.
Okay. Phantom Menace, brother.
Yeah, Phantom Menace. A lot of people are probably flipping out right now if they listen to this. Like, why is this not the last? But to me, I love Jedi for so many reasons, and one of them is the Ewoks. And I liked it because it was so out of place. And again, the wholesome weirdness. We were coming in 2000 or 99 when Menace came, and everybody was just coming off the Matrix and this cool shit. Everything was cool and cool and cool. And here comes all this cool and cool and cool George Lucas. And they got Jar Jar Binks in there. And to me, I seen it. I laughed my ass off. I thought I thought of the Ewoks instantly. And all you heard, you didn't hear anything else about the movie except Jar Jar Binks is an idiot. Jar Jar Binks. And to me, like, I wanted to just grab people and be like, stop and take that out for a second. This was a good movie that it might have been a little too much on the race, but the pod race was so good. It was so immersive. It
brought remember the video game? I still have that for Nintendo 64. A lot when I play it sometimes. And you know what? When you said race, I was thinking of the kind of Misa, you know, like the way Jar Jar talks has gotten a lot of flack over the years for being like racist, which I don't think it is at all. Actually, I think George Lucas has gone on record saying he was trying to represent a certain culture and that was actually meant something to him. He wasn't trying to make fun of anybody or anything, you know?
It's a ridiculous statement.
Well, I mean, I don't know if it's, I mean, look, we live in a world where it's good to look into these things, I think. We don't want to condemn anyone. It's just good to investigate it. And I what I'm trying to say is I don't have a problem with it for that reason. I don't have a huge problem with Jar Jar Binks either. Like I said, I think I've even come more around to see the more fun elements, the Ewoks, things like that in Star Wars I really like. I loved the Ewoks when I was a kid. And when I saw the prequels with my little brother, he loved Jar Jar Binks and thought he was a lot of fun. You know what I mean? So that's part of this world, right? And it's part of our world. Part of our world is that it can be really serious and then, you know, really stupid and funny and kind of, you know, children are a part of the world. We can't all be, you know, like fire and blood.
Well, I'm going to go back to 99.
Though there's a lot of children in that.
when this was coming out and, you know, it was a long, like, anticipation from the commercials and everything and, the trailers. But that day that it was getting released, we had the midnight tickets because they didn't do the 7 o'clock, 6 o'clock thing now. And me and my two buddies, we wound up getting a whole bunch of this burnable substance. And we binged all three of the original movies. Up until it was time, we're about an hour before the show, and we went over to the theater.
Nice.
And it was Star Wars Day. That was one of the most memorables for me.
That's awesome, buddy.
It was, and that's part of, I guess, my personal heartstrings with the movie. I feel so attached to it for that reason. Like, you know, and again, they were going to do this 3D thing treatment to all the movies. They only did it to Menace, and I wound up seeing that when they did it, and then they canceled that idea. But again, when I saw it, that was the only movie.
I forgot about that.
That was the only Star Wars movie my girl has ever seen. Wow. And she never liked Star Wars. Hated, like, would never think about it. But I begged her to call me. I'm like, let's try 3D. It should be fun. Well, she looked at me like I was an asshole after the movie. But
yeah.
So I can't share Star Wars with her, but she knows how much I love it. So she always contributes to anything Star Wars. But Menace, I don't know, it hit a place with me that was like, I was happy to have Star Wars back. I grew up, it was on Star Wars, and now this was something new. This was a big deal. So more so for personal reasons than, say, cinematic reasons,
yeah.
I like Menace.
No, I like this list is very personal, dude, and I like that. So what do we got? We got the top. What do we got now? 4, 3, 2, 1?
Yep, we have four. Yep, we have four left.
All right. I'm guessing what they might be. Let's hear it.
Let's hear your guess.
No. Just four. In my mind. I don't know. I'm not sure.
All right, what do you think is four? Guess four.
I think four is going to be the original Star Wars.
Ah, you're wrong. So
there you go. Okay.
It is Revenge of the Sith.
Oh, okay. Okay. All right. I thought this might even be higher just to surprise me.
This movie was awesome. This was the darkness that
Star Wars this was my favorite needed. Of the prequels. And I really, I mean, like I say, I don't dislike them, but I really like this movie.
Yeah, no, this had everything you needed. Like the just all the elements. It had the, you know, the battles, the just were great, you know, between the, you know, in the air, the lightsabers, the, mm-hmm. the information we got was yeah. really crucial in this movie. Yeah, it was just, I don't know, this was
the
best.
And the end too, dude.
Yeah, like that was bananas. Like, wait, what? You know, like this is how everything, you know, you kind of learn so much that leads into where we're at now, or where we actually began.
It's brutal too, you know, that, uh-huh. that is the thing about it. So I kind of, that actually surprised me, and that's why I always burned in my memory. And I remember worrying about, oh man, kid, this is kind of brutal.
Well, this is the part that kind of like was the I don't know, maybe you call this the MacGuffin, but like, this is what I thought Attack of the Clones was going to be, you know? And then Attack of the Clones was really just like a setup to this. And yeah. it was like, holy yeah. shit, what? Like the burning at the end, I mean, yeah. You know, this Order 66. I mean, it's just crazy. That it was just a,
it's fast like, too. It moves quicker than the other prequels.
Uh-huh. And the music in this one is some of my favorite.
That's awesome. All right. So we got three, and I'm guessing, I'm trying to think what movies were not named. Oh, wait, all the original Star Wars movies.
Yeah.
Let me guess. I think you're going to throw me for a loop. Okay. This is what I think.
It's definitely going to be a loop.
I think it's going to be Empire. I don't call it A New Hope. I call it Star Wars. Empire, Star Wars, Jedi.
Close. Okay. But one off. So I go Empire.
Okay. Oh, okay. Empire.
Coming in at three.
Uh-huh.
It's.
We can talk about these all together. We got to talk about it together. Right. So you got Empire at three. What's two?
Jedi.
And so the original is number one. I like this order.
That wasn't known as New Hope until.
Yeah, it's called the Star Wars. New ones were coming out, dude. Basically. It's called Star Wars.
Yeah.
This is it. So you got Star Wars one. Jedi 2, Empire 3. I can see why you have Star Wars 1. Is it the Ewoks and that kind of element that puts Jedi over Empire?
I love Jedi. I was always a woodsy kind of guy. I liked the wood scenes. I like the speeder bikes going through the trees.
The redwoods, I like, man. Yeah.
The noise when they blew up and they hit the tree. Like just the sounds of the speeders. Yeah. It was so many things that just was so appealing to me. And I don't forget when it came out, I was four. I saw it. So by the time again, I saw it in, you know, on a rental, I was probably five, six, maybe six. 'Cause it took a while back then. So it was more in tune with my youth. And at that time I had just understood the collection I had of characters. And I was now buying the Empire characters with my dad, the Jedi characters with my dad, instead of him having them for me or giving them to me. So like I was going to Toys R Us like, oh, look, you know, yeah. look the speeder bike.
Yeah. Yeah. I get it, man. You know what? That's very interesting, DJ, because I feel that I love the personal touch you put on this list too, because I really looked more at it more like filmically. And I think Empire, I love Empire so much because I am older than you, right? So I'm 5 years older than you, right? You were 79, I'm 74, right?
Right. Yeah, that's five, yeah.
So I was kind of coming into it was Empire, as your coming into it was like you took ownership of your kind of fandom coming into Jedi. And I kind of took ownership of my fandom coming into Empire, because it was not only the time in my life where I understood what Star Wars was, it was a time in my life I knew what something was. You know what I mean? And yep. it's so much different because people have to remember. I know Gramps out there, I know you remember, buddy, but people, the other even youngsters may not, when there's three channels on TV and there's like, you know what I mean? And like you don't come up. Like, my son knows, he's six, and he knows, like, Yoji Ho, and he knows what Robotech, he knows, like, a million different IP, right? Like, what did we knew? I knew, like, Sesame Street.
Yeah, I mean, we
had... And, like, Raggedy Ann and Andy. Like, some of the stuff I knew was, like, from, like, the 20s. You know what I'm saying? Like, it wasn't...
Yeah, it just, Peanuts.
Some Peanuts like stuff. Yeah. The world didn't... Kathy, the cartoon or something. The world did not... The world was not as it is now. It was not a world of fandom. It was not a world of IP. It was... People read books, and people didn't, you know, you didn't have 50-year-olds redesigning their house to look like the deck of the Starship Enterprise. You know what I'm saying? Like,
no, right. Exist. At the most, like, the, you know, so, TV was more like, it was more communal. It wasn't more fan-based.
So that's why I think people don't understand, like, when people talk about, you can't replicate, and I feel bad saying this to younger people because they're like, oh, yes, I can. I was like, no, you really can't. Unfortunately, you can't. You can't replicate the fact that Star Wars invented all of this for a whole generation of people, right? So after Star Wars, that's when all the toys came out and the – like, the, you know what I'm saying? Like –
Merchandising.
I was watching Spaceballs with Lachlan the other day. He loved it.
The brilliant. Yeah, that's true. That's what it was. Yep. Star Wars created this. Like people, that show you told me about on Netflix that I watched, The Toys We Love.
The Toys That Made Us.
That made us, right. That Star Wars episode and the G.I. Joe episode was brilliant because that's what put this –
Yes.
fandom thing on the map.
Did not exist. Seeing Logan Paul on YouTube for the first is not the same. Like, this is it, and everyone knows who experienced this with us knows what we're talking about, for good and for bad, right? Because in many sense it may be the reason this kind of human, this kind of aspect to American culture, humans, may be not the greatest thing in the world. But it exists, and now we live in this world of fandom, and it started with this. And I can see you hold to that thing that you came up with. So for me, it was Empire, and for a lot of people my age, it was Empire. And then I think for next group of people, it is Jedi, because you're not the first person that I know that, you know, loves Jedi more than Empire, which is not the common thing, because the people that came up when it was, you know, in the theaters, generally people feel that Empire is the best, right? Like, still, I think people think Empire is the best.
If we were probably going to go cinematically of this list, I would probably have to switch it up a little and put Empire above, because it's probably the perfect movie, even if you watch it standalone.
Yeah, but like, though the whole Sarlacc pit part with Jabba and the whole thing, that was really advanced, man. Like, I really have to say, for Lucas himself, too.
Was a film.
Yeah, that's true. You know? Yeah, I understand what you're trying to say. It was more episodic. Return of the Jedi was, there was more of a, but also the point is this. I think it's easier for a middle film to be its own thing, right? Because the beginning has to begin it and the end has to end it. So you're losing 20% to 30% of each of those films to the whole thing. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I can see some people, you may like Jedi too, because you liked the resolution, you know? So I think that's interesting, man. That's interesting. But Star Wars, the original. Okay. I'm sorry. Go ahead, buddy.
I just want to say, now that I'm thinking about what we talked about earlier about the marketing to, like, what they're pitching us now as, like, people who have kids age. I'm thinking now, like, my dad got hooked on this stuff because he was of age, harkening back to his day of having a couple, like, Davy Crockett toys and this stuff. Now they're making toys for something he just watched, and knowing he's about to have a kid, he got hooked
on
this.
That's how my dad was too, yeah.
Well, the same way he relived his baseball card collecting days with me.
Yeah, dude, my dad said that to me. He used to – I can remember him saying to me, oh, my God, if they had action figures for, like, the Flash Gordon serials I like. Do you, I mean, like, you know what I'm saying? The, you know, your Red Ryder BB guns, they might have the BB gun, but they didn't have like the Village and the action figure and exactly. the shirt and the album and the, you know, and the spinoff. So he, you're right that in like you're living out a lot of, and I think you see that with a lot of men our age sharing that our fathers, you know, whatever generation that may be, perhaps they were not as communicative. Perhaps they were not, we bonded over things rather than our shared love or relationship, right?
Yeah, I think like this movie kind of stumbled upon this, like this franchise when they did this. And because,
well, that's what this George cycle, was writing about, though.
If you look back, you don't see this cycle with the previous generation like this. And now they know. So like every 5 years, they're bringing something back for this group. You know,
well,
kids.
I mean, I think it has to do, we're talking about a lot of different things too. And look at the time too, who was elected president in 1980. You have a lot of economic, political, social, cultural, socio-political events that add to this too. And, you know, people have written, you know, whole books about that. It's not, you know, Star Wars, you're right. And I think George himself has made comment on that too. But the foundation of that father-son thing exists. I mean, look, it exists in all Spielberg's films. He didn't have a father and he didn't have a relationship with his father. That's what E.T. is about.
Yeah, well, not to go too far sidebar, but there's a wonderful Spielberg documentary.
Yeah, he talks a lot about that. Yeah, I've always, I mean, dude, trust me, I knew when I was, you know, however 9 or something years old, going to see E.T. 50 times in the theater, I knew I was going to see it because this was telling the same story I had of a broken home in the suburbs, you know, wanting something from the outside world, just as Star Wars is. Yep. Luke, something from outside to come and take you to somewhere different. So, all right, and man.
I like that. It kind of brought my, not a reassurance not reassurance, but validation of my frame of thought here. But
I appreciate it, dude. That was a great list, brother. You got any final Star Wars words before we take it out here?
Not too much with the words, but I want to say thank you for letting me do this list. And I love the everything Star Wars. There's nothing bad. And, you know, the list was tough, but it was fun. Thank you.
Well, you're welcome, brother. And we look forward to this stuff coming out. And I know, you know, there was actually a little bit of news that they canceled Star Wars Day at Legoland. And like, there was basically, I don't know how much this is being reported in the Star Wars universe or whatever. There's so many fan sites, Bantha Tracks and all that. But there is supposedly...
I still have copies of Bantha Tracks, the original ones.
That's like a podcast now, I think.
Dude, I used to be in the kids' fan club. I got patches from the fan club.
See, I never did that. That's awesome. See, I did that for like G.I. Joe.
Wrote everything.
He
used to write into them to get me into all these fan clubs. It was wonderful.
That's cool, man. But I wanted to say that basically there was kind of an inside word that they are pulling back on everything to kind of let the universe settle. And that really, they want the next movie and The Mandalorian to kind of speak for themselves. So they're not going to do a lot of like Star Wars days and international Star Wars. Like they're trying to pull back from that stuff in general. So I thought that was actually kind of interesting because I think it's always a good thing in today's day and age when an IP or a person realizes they are overexposed.
Wait, I've been saying this. We have
I'm good with
Star
that.
Wars thread.
Yep.
On Twitter, and I, you know, say a lot of this stuff. Like, all right, you know, it's a little oversaturation. Yep. Like,
pull it back.
Every day, it's something new, and it's too much Star Wars news. And coming from someone who loves it, I feel like that those periods of knowing nothing were the best sell.
Yeah, dude. Absence makes the heart grow fonder. That's what it's all about. You know, that's true, man. All right, DJ, this was a great talk. let's close it up here. Thanks everybody for listening. We did not have time to talk about homecoming, and we still have some great feedback from Andy. I know DJ had some stuff to say about homecoming, and specifically Andy's fantastic feedback there. You got a chance to read that. And you know what, DJ, we got to have you back again. Maybe you come back on Christmas Eve. You want to come back next Monday?
I mean, you know, we could set something up. We'll, you know, we'll talk.
Okay. We'll set it up off air.
It doesn't have to be that long. If you want me back, I'd like to.
Oh, look at that. Okay. Well, I'll have my people contact your people, my lawyers. We'll set it up, because there's the finder's fee that has to be worked out. There's a lot of things.
Plus I have to talk about, like, what I'm going to not talk about on DJ's DVR.
There you go. Right. That's true.
I have a list here that's been building.
There's a clause.
Gigantic.
There. All right. But we're going to do that. So Andy, we have not forgotten you. We just kind of got to talking about different things and we let it flow, which is what happens here. Thanks everyone for listening. Check us out at dvrpodcast.com. I'll be back tomorrow on the Patreon cast doing my special guest. So I should have a special guest on Wednesday. You'll find out then. DJ, any final words?
Use the force.
Yeah, baby. May the force be with you.